Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Good day and welcome to the Cigna Eating Disorder Awareness Series conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Kate Harner. Please go ahead.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for calling into Cigna's 2014 Eating Disorder Awareness Series. My name is Kate Harner, and I'm a care manager on the Eating Disorder team with Cigna. Due to the format of the call today, you will not be able to ask questions during the teleconference. However, at the end of the conference, you'll be transferred into a brief five-question survey in which we are requesting your feedback on your experience of today's seminar. After this survey, you will be able to ask questions of today's speaker. A handout for today's presentation is available online at www.cigna.com/eating disorders. Halfway down the page, under the heading Current Topics, you'll see the link for today's presentation in blue entitled Dying to Be Thin, An Introduction to Nutrition and Eating Disorders. Again, visit the Awareness Series webpage online at www.cigna.com/eating disorders. Halfway down the page, under the heading Current Topics, you'll see the link for today's presentation in blue entitled Dying to Be Thin, An Introduction to Nutrition and Eating Disorders. Please also notice the blue square in the top section of the page that you may click on to sign up for future seminars. It is not required that you sign up in order to attend the monthly seminars. However, if you choose to sign up, you will receive email reminders for each month's presentation. Due to some weather issues, today's presentation will not be given by Alice Merritt. Today, we are instead joined by Katie Morrison, who will be filling in on her behalf. Katie Morrison is a registered dietitian at Veritas Collaborative Treatment Center. Today, she will be sharing information with us on nutrition and eating disorders. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. So I am a registered dietitian. I have my master's in food and nutrition from Appalachian State University. Actually, have been in the field of eating disorders for 5 years and have specialized training in eating disorders and nutrition therapy. I have training with both adult patients as well as currently adolescent patients. At Veritas Collaborative, we do serve patients that are 10 years of age to 19 years of age. And the levels of care I have experience with are inpatient, residential, PHP, and intensive outpatient treatment as well as outpatient care. And so at the beginning of the presentation, and I will say I am filling in for Alice Merritt, and so I'm, very comfortable and know all this information, but since it is her presentation, if I'm a little rocky, that is why. But please, at the end, ask any questions that you have. And so the beginning, the slide I want to start with is what you have heard about eating disorders. And so a lot of people, have a lot of myths or misconceptions about eating disorders. One of them is all people with eating disorders are super thin. People with eating disorders are white, upper-class girls. People with eating disorders are spoiled. People with eating disorders are trying to get attention. People with eating disorders should just eat. Eating disorders are the result of bad parenting, and eating disorders are all about vanity. And so, as I said, these are a lot of, misconceptions about eating disorders, not what is true about eating disorders. And in the media, there is a lot of conflicting messages given about eating disorders and weight and people's body type. Some of these slides I'm going to be talking about do talk mainly about children, since that's the age group that I work in, but they're very relative to, adult patients as well, or adults who struggle with these problems as well. And so about 17% or 12.5 million children and adolescents aged 2 to 19 are obese. Since 1980, obesity among children and adults has almost tripled. In 2007 to 2008, Hispanic boys aged 2 to 19 were much more likely to be obese than non-Hispanic white boys, and non-Hispanic black girls were much more likely to be obese than non-Hispanic white girls. So this is the information, you know, that we're hearing in the media, a big cry about, you know, obesity in children, how is that going to affect them in adulthood, and things like that. And when you look at the next slide where it talks about the prevalence of self-reported obesity among adults, you can see that it's higher in the East and Southeast. And so there's a lot of campaigns, you know, specifically in this area about fighting child obesity. And so the next couple slides, you'll see different campaign ads that have been ran. One for Newsweek talking about Fat for Life, talking about 6 million kids are seriously overweight, what can families do? You may know that Michelle Obama has kind of become the face of fighting childhood obesity. And so there's a lot of federal initiatives that she's trying to push and, you know, is getting pushed to fight the epidemic of childhood obesity. And you can see the picture above of, you know, two thinner girls whispering and looking at a child that is overweight and kind of sending that message to children and to parents that, you know, if you're overweight, you're going to be pushed out. There's a lot of bullying, as you know, in schools, and a lot of that is around weight. The next slide is actually a true campaign that was ran in Georgia, I believe, that was on billboards and, you know, different places where there's actually four pictures of children and very, you know, direct and damaging words used in this campaign, talking and putting a warning sign below them saying, chubby kids may not outlive their parents, fat kids become fat adults. Big bones didn't make me this way, big meals did. He has his father's eyes, his laugh, and maybe even his diabetes. And so these campaigns are very strong, you know, and they are to kind of fight that epidemic. But I think, you know, those conflicting messages, you'll see the next slide where there's some young adults or adolescents, and their bodies are rock hard. They have the cool clothes on, you know, in bathing suits, and kind of given that image of this is what we need to look like, and that the other images of kids with obesity, you know, are a lot more demeaning and bring kind of send a message that this is what they're going to be like if they're obese. And so I think those conflicting messages are concerning, especially working in the eating disorder field and seeing what a huge role media does play with eating disorders and how that can affect a child and start affecting them very young as well as adults, you know, because these images are focused on children, but the adults, you know, see a lot of the same images and a lot of the same messages that the media sends them as well. And those can be very damaging and push them into the next slide, which is the, you know, the yo-yo dieting, the push for weight loss. All these images that I have on this slide show unrealistic ways to lose weight, 10 pounds in 10 days, the miracle pill that burns fat fast. And so this is, you know, a huge money maker for industries is the diet, the different diets and the different pills and, you know, different ways to lose weight. And so these are other messages, conflicting messages that children and adults are getting about weight loss. And so a statistic that's not on the slide is that 95% of people who lose weight will gain it back within the year. And, you know, a lot of that is due to these messages. If you take this or if you use this video or if you wear these shoes that you're going to be able to lose weight. Well, people may lose some weight doing that, but at the same time, they're more likely to gain that weight back. And also keeping in mind, it's pushing people to lose weight in a way that can really impact them mentally and physically and really impact their health overall, because a lot of these pills, you know, aren't regulated, or a lot of the ways that they're pushing someone to lose weight aren't safe, and, you know, that just kind of continues that cycle of being unrealistic. Something to also know is that healthy weight loss is actually 1 to 2 pounds a week, so that 10 pounds in 10 days is really pushing outside that box of what is healthy for your body. And so, you know, just remembering that the 1 to 2 pounds, just like the weight gain, is the healthy and what's recommended. So the next slide, dieting and the drive for thinness. So, you know, this is coming from different research articles, and one of the research articles discusses that over half of teenage girls and nearly one third of teenage boys use unhealthy weight control behaviors, such as skipping meals, fasting, smoking cigarettes, vomiting, and taking laxatives. Another research article shows by age 14, 57% of girls and 33% of boys have a strong desire to be thinner. So, an additional 10% of girls and 33% of boys want a more muscular body. So you can see that weight loss in, you know, this slide is really kind of mimicking what they're seeing in the public as what's okay and what's the norm, that skipping meals and purging and, you know, wanting to lose weight for a certain body type is what is happening. And, you know, as we'll see later, what is recommended if someone truly does need to lose weight because maybe they truly are obese or overweight is not to focus on that body or the, you know, what you want your body to look at, but more behavior. So we'll talk more about that later. And so some more is 2 out of 5 females and 1 out of 5 males would trade 3 to 5 years of their life to achieve their weight goals. Young women ages 13 to 16 are more afraid of becoming fat than they are of nuclear war, cancer, or losing their parents. So once again, we can see how strongly, you know, the messages that are given from society and from people around you are that looks and, you know, the way you look is the most important thing. So, and the next slide talks about the different types of eating disorders. Probably the one that you've heard most about is anorexia nervosa, and that is when someone's restricting, and they have a low weight, intense fear of food and weight gain. And then there's bulimia, which has both purging and non-purging type, and bulimia is purging, you know, a lot of people think purging through vomiting, but it's also through laxatives, diuretics, overexercise, and then there's binge eating disorder, which means someone is eating a large amount of food without the purging that bulimia has. So they might binge on a large amount of food, but then they don't have any compensatory behaviors to, you know, even that out. And so avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, that's a new one in the DSM. And that basically is kind of that picky eater, texture or sensory disorders, of fear of choking, things like that, while someone decides to start restricting their food. It's not necessarily tied to the intense fear of weight gain like anorexia is. And then the other one is the feeding eating disorder, not elsewhere classified. So it's basically still an eating disorder, but it just does not fall into the category of anorexia, bulimia, or binge eaters. So warning signs for anorexia is dramatic weight loss and denial of hunger, preoccupation with weight, food, calories, fat grams, and dieting, refusal to eat certain foods, comments about feeling fat, anxiety about gaining weight or being fat, development of food rituals. Food rituals, if you don't know what that is, could be eating foods very slow, eating foods in a certain order. I mean, the list goes on and on, but basically it's doing something ritualistic around food that if someone's not allowed to do causes them a lot of anxiety. So that's very highly tied with their eating disorder, and it helps in the moment kind of decrease anxiety, but helps them kind of get to their overall goal of, you know, eating less or avoiding certain types of food. Development of food rituals, avoiding mealtimes or situations involving food, excessive, rigid exercise regimens, and withdrawal from usual friends and activities. Warning signs for bulimia is disappearance of large amount of food in short periods of time, frequent trips to the bathroom after meals, signs and smells of vomiting, presence of wrappers and packages of laxatives or diuretics, excessive rigid exercise, unusual swelling of the cheek or jaw area, and that's a result of the purging or the vomiting, calluses on the back of the hands and knuckles from self-induced vomiting, discoloration or staining of the teeth, and creation of complex lifestyles, schedules, or rituals. And so, you know, a lot of times dentists may be aware of more of the teeth issues, and so that could be something that the dentist brings up or brings to someone's attention. If it's a child, could bring to attention of the parents if they're noticing that. Warning signs for binge eating disorder, inability to stop eating or control what you're eating, rapidly eating large amounts of food, eating even when you're full, hiding or stockpiling food to eat later in secret, eating normally around others but gorging when you're alone, feeling stress or tension that is only relieved by eating, feeling numb while binging like you're not really there or you're on autopilot, feeling guilty, disgusted, or depressed after overeating, desperation to control weight and eating habits. And so a lot of people want to know what is the cause of an eating disorder. And, you know, the cause of an eating disorder is a lot of factors together. And so one of the factors is psychological. And so that usually means someone has the low self-esteem, feelings of inadequacy, lack of control, depression, anxiety, anger, loneliness. And then, you know, it's mixed with interpersonal factors that could contribute or trigger an eating disorder, so trouble with a family and or relationships, difficulty expressing emotions and feelings, past of being teased or on size or weight, history of physical or sexual abuse, and then another set of contributing factors could be social factors. So society pressures promoting thinness and the perfect body, narrow definitions of beauty, culture influences that value physical appearance. And then there's a lot of research that talk about biological factors. There's a lot of research that needs to be done in that area, but there is some research that show there is possible biochemical or biological causes, but as I said, this still has a lot of research that needs to be done in this area. But what they do know is that eating disorders often run in families, which does, you know, imply that there is a possible genetic link with eating disorders. And so you kind of get to the place where you're like, wow, what can I do about this? There's so much that contributes. And so so that can feel, you know, very, very hard to kind of figure out what to do next. And so what we promote, or as dietitians, or what I promote, should I say, is balance, variety, and moderation. And so I think the more that you can focus on the behaviors versus focusing on losing weight, or focusing on the negative of what you're doing currently or what your child is doing currently, you know, the more that you can focus on just changing your behaviors is better, and that research shows it's better. And so ensuring that at each meal someone is getting balance, variety, and moderation. So balance basically means kind of going back to that food guide pyramid that a lot of us grew up learning about in school. They now change that to My Plate. And so My Plate, if you look, it says choosemyplate.gov. You can go there, and it kind of makes it more of a visual learning experience where the plate is kind of divided into four. And a fourth of that is fruits, fourth of that's vegetables, then protein, and then grains, and then dairy on the side. And so that helps you kind of get a picture of what balance is. And then within those food groups, that you need to get variety, meaning that you don't always, you know, want to eat an apple for every single fruit that you're eating, but you're getting some pears and you're getting some oranges and some bananas, that you're getting a different variety. So your body is getting a lot of different nutrients in the moment. And that moderation is key, meaning, you know, moderation of different types of food. And so moderation for different food groups is different, but also, you know, moderation in eating out versus always eating out, that sometimes you're also eating in, and that you're able to do and have anything in moderation. And so that's a big thing that we do promote, that all foods do fit, trying to get rid of the good food and the bad food. And I always kind of talk about that in the sense that if everything's categorized in good and bad, if you eat those foods, whether it's a good food or a bad food, you're going to feel a certain way. And so, you know, you might feel really good after eating a food, or you might feel really bad after eating a food. Or if you can't eat the good foods, you also feel bad. So it's a vicious cycle of making yourself, you know, feel negative about yourself or someone feeling negative about those foods, especially if you categorize those foods as well, and maybe you have children and they hear that good and bad, then they'll start categorizing those foods. So trying to neutralize the food categories and say, you know, I can have any food in moderation, as long as I'm getting balance, as long as I'm getting variety, and portion sizes, you know, I'm watching those as well, that any food's okay. And so that's the big picture, the big message that we're trying to send versus, you know, some of the campaigns that we looked at earlier, that it's blaming it all in certain foods versus the behaviors. And so the next slide shows kind of two different sides. I think a lot of people, when they think about balance and, you know, that My Plate that you're looking at, people think, oh, you know, my meals have to be kind of boring. I have to have a piece of chicken or fish and some rice and vegetables every single meal, where no, that's not what we're saying. If you look to the left of the slide, you can see dishes that have a lot of things, a lot of balance, but they're mixed together. So maybe the pasta dish at the bottom, you know, that is a well-balanced meal as well. And so we aren't saying anything about those being bad or whatever. Those are still good and those are still balanced. And so kind of thinking and being able to be creative to what your family or what you have at meals and fit what you like and what you want into that My Plate. You know, it might look a little different, but as long as you're still getting that balance and getting variety and moderation, that those meals are completely fine to have as well. And so a big part of kind of eating disorder treatment and just kind of steering clear of the eating, going down the track of an eating disorder, is listening to your body and being mindful. And so I kind of always use the example of I drive to work a lot and I get here and I'm like, wow, how did I just get here? I don't remember anything about my drive to work. You know, I don't remember what the weather was like, if it was nice outside, what I was listening to music-wise on the way, what other cars were doing around me, I just kind of magically appear. I think a lot of times people do the same thing when they're eating meals. They're very disconnected. They're probably multitasking, doing a lot of other things versus concentrating on the meal that they're having. And so as a result, a lot of times people in the meal and they're not satisfied. They don't feel satisfied. They don't even know how much they just ate or what they just ate because they were doing or thinking about other things. And so a big, part of with eating disorders and or working with people that might not have an eating disorders but are starting to have behaviors is being mindful. And to truly be mindful and work on intuitive eating, which intuitive eating means that you're 100% listening to your body, listening to the hunger and fullness levels of your body, listening to what you want in the moment versus I should have this because this is healthy or this is what, the magazines are telling me I should be eating because so-and-so lost weight on this, really listening to what do I want tonight? What do I have available at my house? Why am I choosing this meal? What am I feeling in the moment? You have to be mindful to get to that next step of intuitive, where you're 100% listening to that. And so there's 10 steps if you look at intuitiveeating.com that kind of help you work towards being mindful and being intuitive, and that's to reject the diet mentality. And so, focus on those behaviors, focus on being in the moment versus, I'm going to eat this because so-and-so lost weight on it, or, I'm going to put myself on a diet. Reject the diet and just focus on the present and taking care of yourself. So number two is honoring your hunger. And so eating when you're hungry, that can be tough. I know people have different schedules, and sometimes you have to eat at a certain time, and that's okay, but also kind of listening to your hunger levels and listening to that depending on how much you're eating in the moment, and not ignoring those and avoiding eating because you're, on a diet or whatever, but truly listening to your body and allowing yourself to eat. Number three, making peace with food. So that kind of goes back to what I was talking about as far as not judging the food, not saying this food is good or this food is bad, but just kind of making peace with it and looking at food non-judgmentally, looking at, the chicken you're eating as that's protein, or the piece of bread you're eating, that's fuel for my body. So very neutral, very non-judgmental. Number four, challenge the food police. And so that's going back also to not saying, that cupcake, I should not be allowed to eat that. So-and-so on the show would never eat that, and that's how she lost weight. Don't bring yourself down. Or if you're thinking about for your child, be aware of those things that you're policing to them and how you're doing it, and so allowing yourself to have all foods in moderation. Number five, respect your fullness. So that's stopping when you're full, not pushing yourself, to be on the clean plate club or eat past that fullness level, but truly listening to that hunger and fullness level. Number six, discover the satisfaction. So kind of get back to a place where you truly are enjoying the food, and that's okay. I think a lot of times people worry about enjoying the food, that they're going to want more, but I think if you're going back to allow myself to have all food in moderation, that you're actually going to be more satisfied off what you allow yourself to have, and might not need to keep having more of it. But as long as you can have it again, then you start becoming more satisfied. And that plays into everything we talked about above. If you're listening to your hunger cues, you're listening to your fullness cues, you're being non-judgmental, you're going to ultimately become more satisfied. Number 7, honor your feelings without using food. And so definitely exploring what feelings you're having in the moment, and thinking or talking about that or journaling about that or doing something with those feelings that's not connected with food. But that way you're still honoring your feelings and you're still allowing yourself to eat based on, you know, how you're feeling, hunger and fullness levels, but not based on emotions. And so that's a big one. Respecting your body, and I think, you know, that goes without being said that if you're following these other rules that you're ultimately going to be respecting your body. Number 9, exercise. But feel the difference, meaning you aren't over-exercising, you aren't under-nourishing yourself and pushing yourself, you know, to over-exercise, that you're truly finding exercise that you enjoy. That, you know, if you don't like running, then don't run. You know, maybe play tennis or swim or hike or find other things that you like to do, because everybody does not like to do the same thing. And not tying exercise with, I have to do this because I ate, you know, this today. But that you're exercising to help yourself feel good, but not tying it to body image. And that's a really tough one. But I think, you know, we've all heard of the benefits of exercise. That's good for your mind. It's good to relieve stress, and it's good for emotions and to kind of be able to control some of those things. But when it gets to the point you're doing it because you have to, or, you know, as a form of compensation, that's when you aren't listening to your body. And so really asking yourself, you know, how am I feeling today? Am I injured? Okay, well, maybe I need to take a break, you know, or do I feel the need, like I can walk a little further, and it's because I feel good in the moment, not because I have to, then listen and honor that as well. And so, yeah, and so that's a big one for exercise, is really just like the food, is you need to do that in moderation for yourself, not maybe moderation for your friend. You know, what is okay for them and, you know, makes them feel good might not make you feel good. And so really honoring those feelings that you have. And so number 10 is honoring your health. So once again, if you're doing all of those things and really asking yourself those questions and honoring your feelings, then it's overall going to make you a healthier person. So the next one is inappropriate food messages. And so these are messages for yourself, messages that you might be giving others or others giving you, or children. And so diets work. And so what statistics show is diets do not work. And we go back to that 95% of people actually regain that weight that they lost on diets. And so remembering that, you know, the best way is to do it in moderation of that 1 to 2 pounds a week by changing behaviors. Eating fruits and vegetables helps with weight loss. So going back to the moderation, that all food groups are important. Even, you know, things that people would consider unhealthy can be important if they provide a certain level of satisfaction. And so knowing that even fruits and vegetables need to be eaten in moderation, that if you had a meal plan were eating only fruits and vegetables, that your body is actually not getting what it needs. And so, you know, remembering that eating high-calorie foods causes weight gain and should be avoided, good versus bad foods that we talked a lot about, and fast food causes weight gain. Once again, fast food in moderation is okay. Physical activity / body movement. Activity should be a part of your life, not all of your life. And so I think that's that balance, that moderation that we talked about. Balance with different activities. So, you know, doing some yoga or dance, walking, tennis, strength training, all of those things are fun and important for your body. But picking, you know, a variety of exercise that is right for you is the most important. And once again, it needs to be fun and enjoyable for you. And so moderate 30 to 60 minute most days of the week, so 4 to 5 days, around there is considered moderate, and 30 to 60 minutes depending on what you're doing, what level of exercise. And once again, to not focus on doing exercise is just a means of losing weight, but doing it or to achieve a particular body shape or muscle mass, but doing it as a form of balance in your life is, and looking at that as, you know, I'll feel better if I'm doing this in moderation, not I need to lose 10 pounds and do this. So inappropriate physical activity messages, more is better. If you exercise for longer, you can eat more. Exercise to burn off a piece of cake. Timed activity to reach a specific caloric level. You have to exercise to keep from gaining weight. No pain, no gain. So all those are, once again, that negative messages that we hear and see a lot in the media or from people. But kind of going back to the slide before that is what is more helpful for you, you know, not tearing yourself down and thinking you have to literally fall over at the end of the exercise for it to be beneficial, and because those are all myths. Prevention of eating disorders. So interventions and education on eating disorders, especially in the highest risk of 12 to 30 years of age. And so I think just even, you know, a call like this and educating on those things, because kind of going back to the slides we've been looking at, the more negative campaigns towards fighting obesity, or kind of the pictures you see of unrealistic bodies of models that are, you know, definitely altered to make them look a certain way, all those things need to kind of really be dissected more, which we'll talk about in a minute. But also knowing that if you're already predisposed for an eating disorder, whether that's genetics or, you know, the psychological area of yourself, and then you're getting those reports and you're kind of trying to mold yourself into that, then you have a higher risk for an eating disorder. And so just kind of being aware of that and kind of taking more realistic approach to things is better. And so become a media literate and recognize advertising strategies. Think critically about media messages that encourage unrealistic, unhealthy body image attitudes. Develop a strong and balanced sense of identity based on inner qualities rather than superficial appearance. So the next slide is a Dove campaign for real beauty. And it actually was a video, so I think that y'all might not be able to see the video. But if you want to just type in or Google Dove campaign for real beauty, there's going to be videos that come up. And they're really awesome videos that show the process of how the media morphs, you know, what someone truly looks like to what you see in a catalog or on TV. And it's very, very interesting. And they have a lot of different videos on different topics. But it's very eye-opening. And I think these videos are totally appropriate for yourself and for, you know, younger kids to show how the media really twists and turns and uses airbrushing and different things to make someone look unrealistic. But that's hard because we're looking at magazines and we're, you know, watching television and seeing these gorgeous and amazing people that don't truly look like that. And so Dove has really started this great campaign to help kind of debunk some of those standards, you know, for beauty that aren't real. And so please Google those and watch those videos and share them with your friends and family to kind of start educating each other on what's truly, you know, possible for someone to look like, and know that every person's different. So what is for one person is not for yourself, and what you're seeing on a daily basis bombarded multiple times a day is not realistic, and reminding yourself of that. And so these videos really, really help with that. So please Google those. So other ideas for media literacy workshops and seminars discuss challenges young people experience in areas of body shape. To teach young people to be critical viewers of media messages and getting familiar with advertising tactics. So once again, just talking about this issue, you know, talking about how the media sends very direct and very negative messages about what it is to be overweight and what it is to be thin, that overweight people might be really, you know, sad and lonely and whatever, and then people are happy and, you know, have great lives and wear cute clothes. And so really kind of debunking some of that, talking about it and how that's unrealistic is super important, especially for young people that might not have the ability at their age. They don't have the experiences that we have as an adult, and they don't have the knowledge and the background to know that that's not true and that those things aren't real. And so really talking about it and showing them videos like the Dove campaign for real beauty can help them start kind of learning and experiencing and actually help support them in the feelings that they're having as well. So basically increasing awareness. And so the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week is from February 23rd through March 1st. So if you kind of are on the lookout for that, you'll probably see a lot of different campaigns and media around that. You might have to look a little harder than the media that you get bombarded with every day, but it's there, you know. So during that week especially, there's a lot of different information you can get, maybe depending on for yourself or if you're involved in certain groups that talks about eating disorders or different types of awareness. You could possibly even arrange for speakers or, you know, get different brochures and things, watch the videos and movies together, but kind of making it a big deal. And so NIDA is awareness.org is a good resource to kind of go to for that on ways that you can spread awareness as well. Facebook, Twitter, sharing things like the Dove campaign or different things that is on the NIDAawareness.org website are good ways to bring awareness to your friends and family that you can do along with yourself as well. And so if you know someone or if yourself you're struggling with some of the eating disorder symptoms that we talked about earlier in the slide, there's definitely ways to get help for that. And so, there's therapists. If you know it's truly an eating disorder, I would definitely try to focus on more eating disorder specialized therapists and dietitians and physicians. And so, you know, insurance companies can usually steer you towards that direction. But also just kind of knowing that there are people that specialize in that. But I think getting, you know, a therapist to kind of talk more about those emotions and how to deal with that is super important. A dietitian to help kind of implement, you know, the balance within a meal plan and the variety and moderation is also key. A physician, which is made up of a psychiatrist and a pediatrician, family medicine doctor, all those are super important to monitor your health currently and where you're at. School counselor, if it's for a child in school, coaches, parents, all of that. And so basically, depending on the level of care that you need, there's definitely programs like Veritas Collaborative and many other programs, you know, around the country that specialize in the recovery of eating disorders at different levels of care, whether it's outpatient, inpatient, residential, or partial hospitalization. So if you have any questions about that, definitely, you know, ask your insurance company as well. And so 10 steps to work towards a more positive body image is appreciate all that your body can do. Keep a top 10 list of things you like about your body. Remind yourself that true beauty is not simply skin deep. Look at yourself as a whole person. Surround yourself with positive people. Shut down these voices in your head that tell you that your body is not right or that you are a bad person. Wear clothes that are comfortable and make you feel good about your body. Become a critical viewer of social and media messages. Do something nice for yourself and use the time and energy you may have spent worrying about food, calories, and weight to do something for others. And so, you know, those are a list that definitely, depending on the person that you know or yourself, where you're at, could be super hard to do. So I think that's where you take that back to getting the help that you need or that someone you know needs at the proper level of care. So there's a bunch of different resources out there for eating disorders. Some are positive and some are negative. And so trying to focus more on the positive ones that really deal with eating disorders and know how to do that effectively is the list that is on the resource slide. And so a good one is the National Eating Disorder Association, Eating Disorder Referral and Information Center, and Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And currently I think Alice's name and email and phone number is up there. And so if you have any additional questions, you can always email her. I'm going to give my information to Kate to update as well on these slides, so you have that. And so, so that pretty much brings us to the conclusion. I know that was a lot of information all at once, and so Kate will let you know how you can get to the next step to ask me questions if you have any. So thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we will conduct a brief survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by pressing the star key followed by the number that corresponds to your choice. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. To help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. Also, if you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in the survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. Let's begin the survey. Question 1. This session provided me with a better understanding of factors that contribute to disorder eating. Press star 1 if you strongly agree, star 2 if you agree, star 3 if you disagree, and star 4 if you strongly disagree. Please stand by while we give everyone the chance to respond. Question 2. This session educated me on healthy eating strategies. Press star 1 if you strongly agree, star 2 if you agree, star 3 if you disagree, and star 4 if you strongly disagree. Once again, we'll pause. Question 3. Overall, the session met my expectations. Please select one of the following responses. Star 1, strongly agree. Star 2, agree. Star 3, disagree. And star 4, strongly disagree. Again, we'll pause briefly. Question 4. I would recommend this program to others. Star 1, if you agree, or star 2, if you do not agree. On to our last survey question. Question 5. Please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with an eating disorder. Star 1, I am an individual with an eating disorder. Star 2, I am a family member of someone with an eating disorder. Star 3, I am a health professional. Or star 4, for other. That concludes our survey. Thank you for your participation. Now we'll move on to your questions. To ask a question, please press star 1. Also, if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 at this time for questions. And we'll pause to give everyone the opportunity to signal. And we'll take our first question. Hi, caller, your line is open. Please check your mute button. Once again, caller, your line is open. If you would, please check your mute button. Hearing no response, once again, star 1 for questions. And there are no questions in the queue at this time. As a final reminder, please press star 1 if you do have a question. It appears there are no questions. I'd like to turn it back to our presenters for any additional or closing comments.
Well, thank you, everyone, for attending, and a special thank you to Katie Morrison for providing such wonderful insights today and for filling in at the last minute for us so we could still have this presentation for you all today. If anyone on the call today has specific questions about anything mentioned in this presentation, please contact the Eating Disorder team by calling the number on the back of your Cigna insurance card. Please also mark your calendars to join us next month on Tuesday, February 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when the topic will be eating disorders and athletes. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and have a great day.
And once again, that does conclude today's conference. We'd like to thank everyone for their participation.